whenever we get in His presence, we start to realize His power. And I want to give you confidence today. There is purpose on your life and there is power in your life. Now, of course, the enemy doesn't want you to know any of this. He wants you to just be a sleepy believer. You know, a kind of person that knows who they are, but is too busy kind of just doing your own things, or maybe just forgetful that you forget who you are. And of course, that's what he wants. But God wants you to know is, as you come into my presence, we look at Exodus 17, Exodus 33, and we had these early disciples, we had these early men and women right at the beginning of the Bible saying, God, we won't go anywhere without your presence. But of course, today we have his presence because we're temples of the Holy Spirit. Imagine that the presence of God lives in you and wants to move through you. And as the presence of God is in you, he wants to move with power, he wants to move with authority, and he wants you to move with purpose. And so I want us to talk about that for a few moments, because here's what God wants to tell us, is that you can have purpose without power. So you can know what you kind of want to do, but you don't feel the power of God. You need to be in his presence to get that. Of course, you could know the power of God, but you feel like you don't know any of your purpose. And God says, I need you to know both. It doesn't matter which way around they come, but I want you to move with purpose and with power. And that's what we're going to talk about today, because I believe as believers in Christ, this is what we need. So what is your purpose? Here's the big question. What is your purpose? Have you ever thought about that? The chances are you have, and you've either given up because you couldn't figure it out or you felt it was impossible because you looked at yourself in the mirror, or you're still dreaming about your purpose and you're thinking to yourself, well, one day it's going to happen, or maybe even better than that, you're in your purpose and you're saying to yourself, man, this is the dream, I'm doing it, it's happening, it's amazing. But this is what I find, is either you're doing it or you're hoping for it someday. Or better than that, it's like my job, or it's my hobbies, or it's something I'm dreaming up, or it's a new business idea, or it's something off in the future that I'm hoping will come into the present. And so that's what we tend to think, and that's what we tend to think each and every day. But I want to suggest to you, that's not what God thinks. That's not what he says when it comes to our purpose. Now let me read you what Paul wrote back in Philippians 3:8. Kind of a strange comment or a strange statement that we're going to hear in a moment, but it reveals where we're going to go to today, and it reveals a bigger picture. Philippians 3:8. Indeed, Paul spoke, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Whoa. So Paul has literally raised the bar and he has said, I've achieved a lot of stuff. I know a lot of things. I had a lot of rewards, a lot of accolades. I've achieved a lot of things in my life. I've done some pretty big stuff. But what I've realized is none of that compares to knowing Jesus. So he's basically saying that all that stuff's good, but if you never find Christ, all that stuff's worthless. It's like you don't just want that stuff, you want Jesus. Or even better than that, you could do without that stuff and never have that stuff, but as long as you find Jesus, your life will all make sense. It's like he suddenly changes things and he takes it up a notch and he says, it's not just what you do. Now you can do good things, but you may not find your purpose. And so what Paul's trying to show us today is that our ultimate purpose is in Christ. Our ultimate purpose is in him. And if you know him, you already have purpose. If you know him, it's not about what you do. You already know him. And so you know purpose. Now, what does God say? God turns that around and he puts it back on us and he says, guess what? It's not about what you do that gives you purpose. It's just who you are. You are purpose. Your life is purpose. So God just takes it another step further and he just says, I am telling you this. It's not about what you do, because if it's what you do, then your whole life depends on what you achieve and if you make it or not, or if you can continue in that thing or not. And for many, that's what happens. It's like, yeah, I finally made it. I'm doing the thing that I love. This is incredible. And then suddenly it comes to an end. And then what does their life feels like? It feels like a failure. It feels like if I'd only made a better choice, if I'd only made a better decision, if only I hadn't done this thing, then maybe it would have kept going. Or I wonder if one day I'll get to my purpose. And it feels like your whole life is just suspended. It feels like your whole life's just on this tightrope. And will I not make it? That is the dilemma. And Paul says, no, I find that it doesn't even really matter what you have. If you've got Christ, you've got everything. And God turns around from heaven and he says, you are purpose. He speaks that into your life today. You are purpose. Now, I know you may not feel it at times, but he says to you, to your heart, you are purpose. And here's how he breaks it down. That you would have purpose and know that you are my people. You're my people. And by knowing him, it would affect every aspect of our lives. Imagine, you come to Christ, you come to God, and he turns your whole life around spiritually, but he also wants to affect all of your life physically. He wants you to think better, just live better. He wants your heart to be better. He wants all of the things in your life to be transformed each and every day. He wants every aspect of your life affected. But not just that. He says, I want you then to take that, and I want you to do that to everybody else. I want you to know me. I want you to know that you are purpose, and your very life is purpose, and I have put purpose in you, and so every aspect of your life has been affected. But now I want you to take that, and I want you to pour that out into everybody else's life that you meet. Wow. We are able to do this. This is our purpose. Our purpose is that we would know that we are his, and our purpose is that we would know that we're called to do his work. That is our ultimate purpose in life. It does not really matter what you do every day. Of course, do stuff that you enjoy. Of course, do things that you find enjoyable and fun. Maybe sometimes they get tough, but realize that is not the extent of you. That's just a small part of you. The real purpose is your life. The real purpose is you, and that's what God says. Wow, what an incredible reality today. What an incredible knowledge to know that. Your life, just like his life, is here to change the world. It's here to change the world. You need to know that every day you wake up, you are born to change the world. Every day that you wake up, God is moving through your life. And we want to embrace that, and we want to know that, and we want to receive that by faith and exercise it by faith. And here's what I find. When I come into his presence, and I could sum it up in these two things, is number one, I find a resting place. But number two, I find an activation place. See, this is what happens in his presence. We get purpose and we realize, wow, my purpose is to rest. Wow. My purpose is to rest in him. My purpose is to know his rest. My purpose is to know the fullness of his joy. But also, the purpose of my life is to be activated into the things of God. It's not just to sit still. It's not just to be there, but it's to move forward in the things of God. Here's the way I like to think of it sometimes, is that I come into his presence and I realize my purpose, and it's like, it's so comfy. It's so good in this presence. It's like the most amazing place that you will find yourself. It's like that super comfy sofa. But in an instant, that super comfy sofa becomes like the Batmobile, because it has potential, it has purpose, it is deadly, it can do damage to the enemy. And if you're not sure what the Batmobile is, think about a tank. But you're not one and just the other, you're both. It's like you carry the presence and the peace of God, but you also carry the authority and the power of God. And you're here to do damage against the enemy. And you're here to bring down strongholds. And you're here to see many lives saved, because it's a war out there for people's lives. And we're on the winning side. And God says, you've got two great things in my presence, my rest and my activation. And God wants to activate us today, because I think a lot of us know his presence in the restful sense, or we're learning that more. But sometimes we forget that God wants to activate us into his presence and call us forward. Every place we go, we bring change. So let me talk about this. We're going to take it a bit further. We're going to go on a journey today. And I want us to think about the AA. Anybody thought of the AA? You know, sometimes you buy a new car, they give you AA protection, which means that when you go down the road, they're right there to help you. You have a breakdown, you can phone the AA. They come and help you. It's like a roadside service. It's like a breakdown service. And they are amazing. Let me give you the AA of God's presence. It's going to just make all the difference, and you're going to transform your walk with God each and every day. Because here's the goal of the presence of God. It draws you in and it pushes you out. Or it draws you in and it goes with you out. It's like the presence of God is that you would come to me, that you would know me, that you would come near to me through Christ, but then through Christ and through the Holy Spirit, that you would move out and do great things for the kingdom of God. And so the first day is access. Jesus has won us access. We talked about it last time. We could never quite get to the presence of God until Jesus came. And then because of the cross and because of his blood, suddenly the door of access was opened, and he gave us full access into the throne rooms of God. Let me read Hebrews 12, verses 14 to 16. I love how this is brought across, because we've got to realize how much access we have. Otherwise, we won't walk into our authority. Authority is the second A. We need to know our AA, which is access and authority. Here's the first one. Hebrews 12. Reading from the Message. Now, I love the Message because it's a paraphrased version of the Bible. I wouldn't advise it for all of the times, because it's not a true reflection of the word. word. It's a paraphrase version. It's been overinterpreted to make it easy for us to understand. But this understanding here helps us to unlock some important truth that I need to get into your heart today. Hebrews 12:14. Now that we know that we have Jesus, in other words, now that we have this access, now that we've got Jesus, now that our lives have been turned around, here's what happens. This great high priest with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. Hebrews is telling us, now that we know Jesus, we have access to God. Let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He knows what we're facing. He's been through weakness and testing, and he's experienced it all but our sin. So let's walk right up to him, get what he has so ready to give. Take his mercy and accept the help. Wow, what an incredible set of verses that God just wants to reveal some important truth to us today. We have access. God has given us access. And I love the way it talks about fingers because, of course, it's been paraphrased just recently, but Eugene Peterson, who did it, realized on point, even though this is 10, 20 years ago when he translated it, realized on point that our fingers really do control our lives. Think about it. Our phones. Right now, you might be watching on your phone. You might be watching on a tablet. You control it all by your fingers. Soon it'll be voice. Hey, Siri. Hey, Alexa, you talk to them and they do the things you want them to do. Right now, everything's going off in your house. I know that, sorry. But our fingers really do control our lives. In fact, our fingers really can control our world. I mean, right now, I can do a lot of my IT work and in my work and my business from my phone. Now, when I have to get more tactical, I've got to get to the computer, but I can do a lot of it from my phone. That could have never happened years ago. So watch out for the fight. Watch out for the war of your attention. Watch out for the war of your attention with your phone. And literally, your fingers are really important. He writes, let it not slip through your fingers. Let's not let the presence of God slip through our fingers. Let's not let the access that we have to God slip through our fingers because we're busy with other things and we've got attention on other things and we've got other things in our hand. The Bible says that literally the kingdom of God is at hand. We have everything that we need right there. But if it's always full and our hands are always full and our attention is always full and we're always consumed with other things, then how will we pursue his presence and how will we fully know his access? And so today we are not going to let it slip through our fingers. Our access to Jesus has changed our lives. Let's not forget that because it has the potential to change other people's lives. We take this with us and we bring transformation everywhere we go. And then at the end of verse 16, I love what it says here. And wow, here's a message for life as well. Take the mercy and accept the help. Could you imagine if we did this in our lives? You know, take the mercy and accept the help. You know, you're going through a battle right now. Come on, just take it. What do we find over and over again? No, there's probably somebody else more important than me. Yeah, there is. But here's the thing about Jesus. He's got more than enough. So stop putting it off and stop like being so subtly humble that it's not even real. Just accept the help because you need the help. Get rid of the pride, get rid of the fear, get rid of the unacceptance. You have full access to the Father. So accept that he wants to come and change our lives. And he wants to pour this mercy out into our lives. And then accept the help. And here's what I find about help. It's twofold, isn't it? It's like there's times when you're in trouble and you need help. And so you cry for help and somebody comes. There's times when you're in trouble in the midst of that. And you don't want to cry for help because you think you can fix it yourself. And then eventually you cry for help. But then there's many other times in our lives where we don't realize that we need any help. In fact, maybe we don't need any help. And yet I believe where we really need the help is those times. I don't think we overly have a problem asking for help when we're in trouble, when we're really at our wits' end. We cry out for help and we're very teachable, we're very listenable, we're already very open to what someone will have to say. But whenever we feel like we're doing well and things are going good, or we get into a slump, or we get into a rut, or we just start to go meandering through life for 10 or 20 years, then for somebody to come and confront us with love and with grace, we misread it and we say, they're just out to get me. Or they're trying to control me, or trying to tell me what to do. Let me tell you that God has given us all access to be able to, with love, with grace, bring life into each other's lives. In fact, that's the way he's designed it. And so I'm going to encourage you, whose life are you bringing that to? And whose life is bringing that into yours? Make sure that you're open to receive it. Make sure you're ready to give it. We've got to be ready. Jesus was ready with his access because he knew what it had won for him. Let's be open to ask for help. And maybe today, we need to take a stock check. What's keeping me back from pursuing the access that I've got? What's keeping me back? What's holding me back from fully stepping into those inner courts, that throne room with Him? What's blocking my access right now? Because it could be the things that you're doing, the things that you're saying, or the things you're not let happen in your life, or the words that you won't accept from somebody else who cares and loves. So let's take a stock check. What is holding you back? And then the second thing, we already mentioned it, our AA, our second A is authority. Here's what 2 Corinthians 10:3 says. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Wow. When we literally come into His presence, He lets us see an unseen realm. Whenever we come into His presence, we realize there is an unseen realm, and we realize how important it is that we have the access, and now we come into the authority. And God says, when you know that you've got access, you'll come in. When you come in, you'll get my authority. When you've got my authority, then suddenly your prayers take another level. Suddenly your prayers are able to bring down strongholds. They're able to bring down false pretenses that have risen up against, into lofty places against God. And you're able to break this down for people. And then it talks about being able to take every thought captive. And here's what Paul was trying to get the attention of for this in 2 Corinthians. He was speaking to the church and he was saying, hey, there's lots of people out there that have the belief of science, and that's what rules their life. They've got the belief of themselves. They've got the belief of, I just do whatever I want. They've got the belief that there is no God, or that I don't reference God, or God doesn't exist, or I just do it my way. They've got all of those things, and it's a stronghold in their lives, and it's preventing them from, in their minds, being able to see their need of salvation. But through our authority and through our access to the Father, we can literally bring those strongholds down. This is what it means to take every captive thought captive. This is what we can do in people's lives. This is what we can do in our own lives. We can pull those strongholds down, but we can also do it in other people's lives. And that is essential if we're going to see the world won for Christ. So let me encourage you, when you come into this access and you come into this authority, you come out with incredible confidence and you are ready to go. But where are you going to go? Come on, where are you going to go? I think as Christians, we all know where we're supposed to go. We just don't want to do it, or we forget, or we get lazy. We're supposed to go into all the world. We're supposed to go to next Friday night. We're supposed to go to our workplace every day. Maybe we're just supposed to go to our family who are unsaved and need a witness for Christ. But we are supposed to be God's witnesses to the ends of the earth, every place we get. And it is our delight. It is literally our delight. So we are people on mission. Now, here's what I started to think about this week, and Nikki and I were chatting about it. Because of COVID, it might have put us in a tailspin where we find ourselves not going on mission any longer. And the reason for that is because we're creatures of habit, and we're used to doing it the one way. Oh, I do it in work, or I do it as I walk to work, or I do it this way. And then suddenly we go to lockdown, we come into all these restrictions, and here's my concern, that the only focus that we've ended up having as the church, because remember, the church doesn't exist, it's just the people. There's no such thing as the church. It's you. It's me. It's not some global organization trying to change the world. It's just me and you. It's humble, meek believers that say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's literally our prayer. That's literally our cry. That is our truth. And we can do the impossible because God is with us. But here's what COVID can quite easily rob you of. Your purpose, your calling, and your mission. And you're like, I just can't do those things anymore because we're in lockdown. We can't do them. And here's what I want to release to you, is supernatural creativity. Is supernatural creativity, or maybe more than that, just a wee gentle purse that says you can do it a different way. You see, during lockdown, we changed everything. We couldn't come to church, so we brought church to you. And we started online church. And then as we started online church, everything changed. We then went from one church that was here to another church that was there. And now today you're watching online church and you're part of our church. It's incredible. And so before lockdown, we had one church at one time. Now we have two churches at three different times. 10, 11, 30, and 12. 10 is here in this building. 12 is here in this building. And 11:30 is online. Isn't that incredible? See, what the enemy meant for evil, the Lord's turned around for our good. He has literally transformed things. He has literally changed things. It is absolutely amazing. So don't forget your mission. You are a people on mission. And even though COVID's here, we're respectful, we're wisdomful, we're health conscious. But if we stop the good news and we stop our reaching to the lost, it's time to restart. It literally is. Because otherwise we miss out in our identity and we are not able to go and see many one for Christ. We need to be wise. We need to be caring. We can be health conscious, but we need to reach lost souls. So help us, Jesus, to do that. Let me give you two things. Two quick things as I'm thinking about this of being on mission. The first one is that change needs to happen. Change needs to happen. Maybe over this last few weeks, this last few months, you find yourself inward focused. And to a degree, that's okay. Isn't it fine? It's okay to concentrate on me sometimes and all of that good stuff. But here's what it can do. It can start to become your lifestyle. Like, what about me? It's like, you know, how do we keep ourselves safe? Like, how do I stay indoors all the time? Me. And all of that's a valid thought. But here's what Jesus said. Surrender your life to me. Lay down your life every single day so I can get you going out, because you're already taken care of. I've got your life. I hold it literally in the palm of my hand. It takes faith to receive that, but that's the truth of the good news. Your life is in his hand. And so from that place, you're able to go outward. And then the second thing is this, is that again, don't let your Christian life become all about comfort and pampering. It's not about pampering. It's about a partnership. Come on, amen. Give me an amen out there. It's about working with God and going on a partnership and going on a mission with him. And every day saying, God, come on, we're going to do great things together. We're going to do exploits for the kingdom of God. It's not just about attend me, God. You know, wouldn't it be amazing if we could just stay in our beds every day and we could just pray like, Lord, by 11 o'clock today, every person in my office is going to be saved. And I just declare it out of the heavens. And then supernaturally, or you get a phone call 10:59. It says, everybody in the office just, there was an incredible revival and everybody just got saved. Wouldn't that be amazing? No, because we would miss out on all the joy of it. And God's not going to work like that, because what would be the point of you? God says, no, it's not about a pamper session. When you get to heaven, I'll give you all the good stuff and you'll know no lack. But right here, right now, I can supply all of your needs and I can help you to do incredible things. And that's really where living's at. That's really where living's at. Our goal is not more comfort. Our goal is, God, give me more danger. God, help me to move out with you. God, help me to move in your steps. Help me to hear your voice and help me to win the lost for Christ. That's real abundant life. Come on, don't be distracted from it. Here's what James 1 says. James 1:22 says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like you're glancing at your face in the mirror. You see it yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. You see, God needs to get our attention, because it's not just, you know, comfort, kind of just want to take it easy. No, this is really serious. God's saying that we really do have a significant part to play. Your life is purpose. Your life is access to the throne room, which got you authority. And with your purpose and with your power, you can go out and do incredible things and see the lost one for Christ. Because guys, we live in a fallen world. And there are many incredible people that don't know Jesus, and they may be more compassionate to you than you, and they may be more loving than you, but they have no idea of Jesus, and so therefore they're going to a lost eternity. And so God, I pray today that our hearts would break and that our hearts would burn with compassion for the lost. Amen? That is what I need. That is what we need. And God says, I don't want you to just be a good hearer. I don't want you to be just a good person in class. Remember, we're not just Christians to stay in class every day. You know, I just want to learn more about the Bible. Amen. But it's for application, not just for supplication, you know? It's for application and supplication, but not just supplication. I need to move out. I've got something to do. God's called me. I've got purpose. I've got destiny. Come on, let's get stirred up today, because God has great things for us to do. Let's not just be hearers of the word, but we got to be doers of the word. Come on, we got to get our hands dirty. We got to get out there. And being on mission with God is true abundant life. Let me tell you that. Being on mission with God is true abundant life. So come on, we're ready to go. And today I want to finish off with three weapons. Just three. There's more, but three weapons of our mission. Come on, this is what we can use when we go on mission, because we're not just helpless. We are incredible people of God. And the first one is power. Or if you're listening from some other place in the world, it's power, you know? But we just shorten it down and we say par, you know? So you have to get with the drift. But we are people of par. We have par. We have got the power of God, and it is supernatural and it's incredible. And I think every day we need to remind ourselves, we are supernatural people. We are literally supernatural people as well as we're natural. We are supernatural. Come on. We need to know this. Otherwise, we're going to go around like everybody else, feeling the peace and feeling the grace, but feeling helpless to the situations around us. And I want to tell you that you are not helpless to the world around you. You are a help and a blessing to the world around you because you have the supernatural power of God flowing through your veins. And here's what I feel more than ever, that the Holy Spirit is so crucial and so key to our lives. If you're not baptized in the Spirit and know nothing about that, then send us an email. hello@vibeandi.com. Give us a ring. Look up online. Get in some books. Check out some of our old podcasts. You need to get filled with the Spirit. I just really sense there's such an urgency right now to get filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not just this moment, but for the season. We need the Holy Spirit. If we don't have Him, if we're not fully alive in the Spirit, if we're not walking fully actively in the Spirit of God, and have really radically encountered the Spirit of God, and that's an ongoing process in our life, it's not salvation. This is just for power to be able to go out and be our witnesses. If we don't, I fear that our faith will not be as strong as we need it to be for the seasons ahead. Amen. I don't feel it will be. I feel that God has sent you need the Spirit today because it's like that early church days. You need the Spirit of God because lives were under threat. The early disciples, they all lost their lives for their faith. Apart from John. I mean, they all lost their lives for their faith. They had to pay the ultimate price. So many of those early disciples, especially that inner circle and the wider circle, they lost their faith because it was a radical day. And I feel that we're coming back into radical days. Now, they're amazing days, but they're radical days. And so we need the radical power of the Holy Spirit. You need to get baptized with the Spirit. If you know Him, come back to Him. Ask Him for more, because it's maybe been a year or so, and you need more. You need to pray in tongues. You need to get that heavenly prayer language. God gives it to everybody. It's not just for a chosen few. That's the gift. But for the heavenly prayer language, in terms of there's a gift for the body, but then there's a gift for the believer, and that's for every single person, and you need it today. Don't get me started. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Come on. Here's what Jesus did in Matthew 8:1. I got to show you, because we have this sort of power. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed Him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before Him and said, "Lord, if You are willing, You can make me clean." Jesus reached out His hand and touched the man. "I am willing," He said, "be clean." Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. See, here's the thing. Jesus came and not only defeated sin and death, but He was here to heal people. He was here to transform people. He was here to see broken lives restored. That's what we're here for. And guys, we're going to do ourselves a disservice and our faith a disservice and the Lord a disservice if we do not step out with boldness and with supernatural authority, because our access and our authority says we can supernaturally move the hand of God. We can see God move, and He wants to move through our lives to see blind eyes open, to see the lame walk, to see the dead raised, to see families restored, to see miracles take place, because we are a miracle people. We are a miracle, supernatural people, and God says, "I need you to go." Can I tell you that assumed authority is no authority at all? I mean, you can say it, you can think it, but if you don't have the presence, if you don't know Him, then it's pointless. It's going to do just damage. It's not going to have any effect. It's going to do nothing at all. But when you know His presence, and you've got the access, and you've got the authority, then you can speak. Do you know what I feel? I feel like a large part of it is not just forgetfulness, is that we feel inadequate because we know we haven't spent any time with Him. But can I tell you that in His presence, you're going to get all that you need? So we've got to seek Him like never before. Don't let your fingers dictate your life. Get away from the social medias. Get away from the other things that want to distract you, and get into His presence and lock the door. Use your fingers, lock the door. Do whatever you got to do. But we need to get into His presence because we need this authority, because we have strongholds to break down. Number one weapon that we have is the power of God. Number two weapon that we have is that we're unshakable people. Here's what Hebrews 11:1 says. Now we're unshakable. Of course, we can be shaken in many things, but here's what we can't be shaken on is our faith. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So we have a confidence and we have an assurance in something that we don't see, but because we know Christ and because that faith is placed inside of us, we are suddenly an unshakable people, which means we're unshakable in our thoughts towards God. We're unshakable in our thoughts towards people. We're unshakable in our lives. And even when terms turmoil comes, you can shake me all you want, but I am fixed and rooted on Christ, and I cannot be moved. I'm unshakable in the fact that I know that God is good. And even when it looks bad out there, I know He's turning things around for me because He's a good God. I'm unshakable in the reality of when the enemy tries to tell me it's bad, and even when I lose, and even when things don't work out the way I hope for, I still know that the Lord is good and He's for me and not against me. Church, we need to know that we are unshakable people because it will shake the core out of the enemy completely. He cannot handle it when the children of God know who they are and they realize that they are unshakable. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because You are with me. Church, we need to know this. We are an unshakable people. Even on your deathbed, you're an unshakable person if you know Christ. If you don't know Jesus, then everything shakes you. Right now you're shaken. But let me tell you, it's a good shaking. It's a conviction of the Holy Spirit. And accept Jesus today and watch how your life is turned around. Guys, we are an unshakable people. If you know Christ, you are unshakable. And even when things are shaken, you cannot be moved because our faith is intact and our faith is from God. And then the third thing, before I give you one last thought, is that we are full of the Father's love. You see, when we go out on mission, we've got to know that we're full of the Father's love. Can I tell you how amazing it is? It would take me too long. That's the truth. It would take me too long. But imagine how much He loves us. Imagine how much He cares that He sent His Son for us. He never forgot about us. He never stopped loving us. He never rejected us. He never turned away from us. He sent His Son to prove it. He loves you and He loves me. Guys, we have the fullness of His love in our hearts. Even in those deep moments when it's pain and it's hurting and it's tough and it's hard and there's loss and there's all sorts of things going on, we know how much the Father loves us. Can I tell you, can I plead with you, can I urge you that the Father loves you with an unstoppable love? An unstoppable love. And so as we go on mission, guess what we get to do? We have the delight of bringing that love to other hearts. And then they get to experience or have the opportunity to experience the Father's love, which is indescribable. It's absolutely indescribable, isn't it? You cannot quite fathom it. It's just beyond our realms of imagination. And yet what we've experienced so far is incredible. His love is indescribable. Come on, we've got the fullness of the Father as we go, and we've been called to go. So let me give you one last strange question to grab your attention as we're finishing. We are people of His presence, which means we have purpose, which means we have power. And God's asking us to really step into that today because we are mighty in His hand. But here's my last question. What are you doing with your lunchbox? What are you doing with your lunchbox? What a strange question. Now, if you've got kids like I have, then you'll know the pain. Some days, you got to make a packed lunch. Now, what's the purpose of a packed lunch? What I find is the purpose of a packed lunch is that in school, you don't like the school dinners, so you bring a packed lunch. A packed lunch is kind of a second-class thing because if the school dinners were better, you wouldn't do a packed lunch. But our girls, this is what drives me mad. I pack the packed lunch, and I put love and care and attention into it as much as I can early in the morning because I'm half asleep, but I do it because I love them, and I want them to have a great lunch in the middle of the day, which will keep them going. But here's what I find. Inevitably, every single day they bring that packed lunch home, there is something not eaten. In fact, it could be more than one thing. I'll make them two sandwiches, they'll eat one. I'll give them a packet of crisps and a Bicky, they'll have half of each, and it'll be all wasted. And I'll ask them what went wrong. They'll say, hey, we just hadn't enough time. We just hadn't enough time, or we wanted to go play, or there just wasn't, I didn't really like it, you know, or I just want to do this, I just want to, in other words, the lunch was like, it's just second class. It just feels like there's no importance to it. Now, here's what they'll find as they grow older. They'll realize that that lunch is really important because it keeps you healthy, it keeps you strong, and you need to eat. And if you're going to go and do all the things that you want to do in the day, then you need the energy, and you need the sustenance, and you need all of that to help it go to pass. But when you're early and you're immature and you're younger, you just feel like lunch is just second class. I really want school dinners. In other words, I'm always hoping for more. I'm not satisfied with what I've got. And my question for us in our lives is, what are you doing with your packed lunch? What are you doing? Because I remember another story from the Bible that talked about a packed lunch. In fact, there's two stories. The first one is the feeding of the 5,000. The second one is the feeding of the 4,000. But the common denominator in the story is a packed lunch. Is that Jesus is there, all the people are there, the disciples are there, but they don't know how to feed the people. And then Jesus says, well, what have we got? And this small boy comes forward and he says, I've got a packed lunch. It's not my first preference. I'd really like McDonald's. I really like a banquet. But my mom was so kind and my mom was so thoughtful that she gave me a packed lunch. So here's what I've got. What do you think, Lord? And of course, we know the story. Jesus takes the packed lunch, the 5 loaves, the 2 fishes. He blesses them. He multiplies it. And that packed lunch sorts out thousands of people. That packed lunch feeds thousands of people. Here's my question. What are you doing with your packed lunch? See, what I find is that sometimes we don't look at our lives right. We say to ourselves, if my life could only be a bit better, if my life could only be more, if the Father could just have given me more talents and more abilities, then I could have a greater impact on this world. But here's the truth of the story. A packed lunch changed everything. A packed lunch was all that was required. Here's where I find is the emphasis is on the wrong thing. It's not on the packed lunch. It should be on Him. See, maybe what's really going on is that we underestimate God. We underestimate what He could do with our lives. We underestimate what Jesus could do if we would literally just give Him the little that we have. Because I know He can multiply it. You see, the boy that day said, hey, I might only have a packed lunch, but I'm giving it to You, Lord. And then Jesus did incredible things with it. I wonder what we would do with our lives. I wonder if we woke up every day and we said to ourselves, Lord, what do You want me to do with my packed lunch today? What do You want to do? What do You want to do in my life? It may not feel like much. It may not add up to much, but I know if I give it to You, I'm not going to underestimate You. I know You can do incredible things. You see, when we start thinking like that, then suddenly our lives have impact. Suddenly our lives have purpose. Suddenly our lives have power. Suddenly our lives make a difference and we start to look like Jesus, and suddenly the world is being transformed. How would you like your life to affect thousands? It can't, but it takes us to say, right, Lord, I've got Your presence. I'm moving in there. I've got the access. I've got the authority. I've got all the weapons. Let's go. I'm here to make a difference. See, He's not just drawing us in, but He wants us to come out with Him. And let's go do something for the kingdom of God. Come on, we're going to pray today. If you don't know the Lord, then we're going to pray that you would come to know Him. If you do, then I'm going to pray that you're going to take your packed lunch every day. You're going to take your life, and it's going to affect thousands of people. Amen. Lord, we just thank You for everybody that's tuned in today. Thank You for everybody that's listening, Lord. We thank You for everybody that's on the podcast later that will tune into this, Lord. And I really just pray for every heart and for every life, Lord. And I pray that if anyone's far from You or doesn't know You, that right now they would come to faith in You in Jesus' name. The Bible tells us that if we would just come before God, that He will convict us, that He will reveal our sin. And then if we would give Him our sins, He's faithful to take it away. And He will give us a brand new start. And suddenly we have access and authority like we've never, ever seen or heard before. Incredible. And all it takes is a yes. Give Him your life. Give Him your life and watch what He'll do with it. But Lord, I pray for us as Christians today. I pray for those that know God. I pray for those that are walking after God. I pray for those that know You as Savior. I pray today that we would take our lives and we would offer it as a living sacrifice. I pray today, Lord, that we would take the lunchbox of our lives and we would literally give it to the Master and He would use it to affect thousands, because I'm not just here for comfort. I'm here to do exploits for the kingdom of God. And so, Lord, I pray, let us know our identity. Let us know our purpose. Let us know our power. Let us know our authority. Let us know our access. And let us do damage to the kingdom of darkness. And let us supernaturally take this world by storm with Your love and with Your grace. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that You would come radically over our lives. Lord, give us a fresh encounter with You. Give us a fresh baptism with You. And let our lives never be the same again. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.